J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Go back live to the Esquire Theater with the Breakfast Club. JC, do you have a moment to talk with a good friend of yours?
Yeah, I understand we have Super Dave Osborne on the phone. Soup, how are you?
Okay, Soup, how are you? We got to relay this thing. Let's try something else. Hold on.
What are we doing now?
Hello, Soup, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Soup. Can you hear us?
Okay, JC, it looks like we won't be able to do this.
I'll tell you what, then. You're going to have to apologize, and maybe we'll try it some other time, because that won't work. That's the voice, ladies and gentlemen, of Super Dave. Just tell him to say something to the crowd here at the Esquire Theater, because the system won't work.
Okay, Super, are you there?
Yeah, I can barely hear you.
Okay, say hello to the folks down at the Esquire.
What?
Say hello to the folks at the Esquire.
I'm on the air?
You're on the air. Don't cuss.
JC?
Yeah!
Can you hear me?
Yes!
Oh, I guess you can't hear me, JC, because you're at the Esquire Theater. So, I guess we'll just record something here. The only way we can do this is you ask me some questions. I'll leave a pause, and I'll answer the question. I'll just have to guess what you asked me. So, what's your first question?
Gosh, how are things in California?
Yes, that's right. Our show does debut tonight at 10 o'clock. 9 o'clock your time, and it's going to be sensational. Thank you for asking.
I got a question. You ever seen a grown man naked?
Melissa Manchester is our special guest. I don't want this to turn into a complete plug call. It's going to sound like the only reason I called is to push the fact that our show debuts tonight. So you'll have to ask me something else.
Okay, well, have you ever been to a Turkish steam bath?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do think it's one of our best shows. I'm really proud of it, and we do a tremendous stunt to close the show. Ask me something else. I don't want to talk about the show.
You ever had a dog get on your leg? And
Yes, it's going to be our best season. Ask me something about yourself, will you please?
Gosh, did you think that that rash would ever go away?
Well, you'll have to answer that. Did you have a great time when you visited our show or not?
All right,
we had a lot of fun having you there.
Get rid of him. All right, Super Dave Osborne right there on the Showtime Cable Network.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, October 4th, 2022, 35 days until the midterms. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. I miss my buddy Bob Einstein, Super Dave Osborne. I miss that guy. He was so, so good to me over the years. And if you were a listener to the old Breakfast Club show on KSD, you know what I'm talking about, because the phone would ring and it would be him. And just anything could happen. He was so funny. The thing you heard right there. I mean, there's some famous instances where, you know, somebody calls a radio station or a television station, and there's a very, very important little button that the person running the controls back at the radio station has to push in so that the person who's calling in is able to hear the people who are doing the radio show. It's a very, very important button. If that button isn't pushed in, you hear exactly what you heard there. And, Bill McClellan and Mark Vittert on that show that comes on after Donnybrook called Donnybrook Your Turn. The button isn't pushed in, is it?
Good evening. Welcome to Donnybrook Your Turn. I'm Bill McClellan, along with Mark Vittert, here to hear what you have to say about the issues we've discussed today.
Why don't we go right to Evelyn from Webster Groves. Evelyn, are you there? Evelyn, go right on ahead. Go right on ahead, ma'am. Evelyn, are you there? Yeah, I think
okay.
Evelyn.
Evelyn, let's try it again. Maybe call back.
Oh,
you're there? Okay.
Hello.
Go ahead, Evelyn. Go ahead,
yes,
Evelyn.
I'm here.
Go right ahead.
You're not hearing me?
Yeah, we're hearing you now, Evelyn.
Go ahead, Evelyn. Evelyn, you need to turn your television off if you're listening to
Hi.
It. Okay.
I would like to just say, I'm sorry.
Evelyn, you need to turn your television off if you want to talk.
For some reason, I'm not getting through.
Okay, Evelyn.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Evelyn. Can you hear me at all? Yes, we hear you now, Evelyn. So tell us what you want to say.
Hello.
Okay, yes. Evelyn, try to call back. Try to call back if you would. Yeah, try to call back, Evelyn. We'll be here waiting for you. Yeah. And let's go to Bill from Carrollton. Bill, are you there? Bill from Carrollton. Bill from Carrollton. Are you there? Well, Bill, if you're calling from Carrollton, Illinois, that's a town I spent some time in and sure liked a lot. I hope are we with you at all? Bill, try and call back if you can from Carrollton, and we'll go to Henry from St. Louis. Henry, are you there?
I swear to God, I got pits. My God. And then he goes,
There is something funny about people snorting. Dave Glover snorts on the air all the time. And another person who snorts is Kara Caswell, who was on Channel 11 for a long time and then on Channel 4 for a long time. She's doing the real estate thing now. And Kara's just an absolutely gorgeous woman. God, is she pretty. And she is no longer a spring chicken, and none of us are. And I don't know how it happens, but she looks as good today as she looked 25 years ago. I don't know how she's doing. Man, is she a good-looking woman. Anyhow, she didn't sit that far away from me in the Channel 4 newsroom, and I would occasionally say something to her, and she would snort. And then once I got her to snort, I tried to get her to do it again, and I wasn't always successful, but that's the way it goes, you know? Albert hits number 703 last night. Makes it onto the national news. By the way, CBS This Morning does that thing, I think they call it the eye-opener. They say, hi, it's us, and you know me, I'm Gail, and it doesn't matter who these other two guys are because this is my fucking show, and everybody knows it. And then they go, here's your world in 90 seconds. And it's sort of like a little snapshot of everything that happened since you had gone to bed last night, or maybe just a little recap of things that had happened yesterday, you know, that sort of stuff. And there it is, Albert hitting number 703. Two more games to go. Let's see how this whole thing shakes out. Whatever that number is, whatever it turns out to be, you're going to see T-shirts with that number all over it. You know, so it's you'll walk around St. Louis with a T-shirt that just says 703. If you're not from St. Louis, you might not know what's going on, but that's okay. A girl has to have her secrets, you know. Last week we told you about Ringo going into the hospital and nobody seemed to know what was wrong. And Ringo's like 80 now, so you start getting real nervous. Turns out he caught COVID, had to postpone a bunch of shows last week. They haven't updated his condition or said, you know, how he's doing, but at least it's not something like, you know, heart failure or something like that. An investigation has found systemic abuse and misconduct in the National Women's Soccer League. Here we go again. It just seems like anything that involves young girls will eventually turn out to be a scandal in the making. You just like, wherever there's young girls, you're going to find middle-aged men, apparently, just looking for a great opportunity to take advantage of them. This is 2022. Maybe by now we should have figured out that you can't leave middle-aged men left alone and unsupervised with young girls. And again, it being 2022, why aren't there more women running these things? That is a mostly rhetorical question because I don't know the answer. I really don't know the answer. But you would think that the best way to relate to young girls and communicate with young girls and nurture young girls and just do all the sorts of things that these experiences are supposed to generate for them, like team spirit and cooperation and learning to make friends, learning to be part of a team, all that sort of stuff. Why wouldn't you have women? Why isn't always guys running this stuff? And the other thing that this is doing, and I know it for a fact because it affected my dad. You know, my dad retired. Yeah, my dad passed away many years ago, but while he was retired and living in sort of northwestern Wisconsin, maybe about two and a half hours from Minneapolis. And there were teams of young boys that needed managers and coaches, but it was when all of that stuff sort of in the late 90s began to break, and we began to learn how pervasive abuse of young boys by male coaches has been. But also with that were lots of false accusations. You know, somebody would get dragged through the mud who didn't do anything, and somebody got, you know, too whipped up on something. Somebody got a story not right. Somebody's trying to get even with somebody. And my dad was like, I could be coaching these boys, but the hell with it. I am not getting into this. You know, you go in with the best of intentions. Somebody decides that because you pulled their kid out of the game because he wasn't hustling, they're going to make a false accusation against you. I mean, that's terrible to think that, you know, this is what we always talk about with regard to religious orders, nuns and priests, Christian brothers and stuff like that. All these scandals are ruined for the men and the women who go into like some sort of religious service, which then somehow segues into dealing with young kids and young adults. They're honest people. They're going with the best of intentions. And, you know, they're saying, you know, you're living in a convent or a rectory with somebody you find out has been moved around about a half a dozen times because every place they go, they get in trouble. That's why I said a long time ago, I'm not apologizing for anything anymore. My behavior has been exemplary compared to what I read in the paper and see on TV almost every day. I'm like some sort of fucking saint. Not apologizing for anything anymore. Donald Trump filed a $475 million defamation lawsuit against CNN, claiming they're trying to short-circuit his future in politics by using the phrase "the big lie" to describe his election fraud claims. Oh, I get it now. So it's CNN that's been trying to short-circuit his future in politics. Seemed like he was doing a pretty good job of it on his own, huh? And I'm horrified to admit to you that about 2 years ago, I made this mistake. I still can't believe I did it. Thankfully, I will never see this woman again because it was out of town. And I just ran. I just ran away afterwards and stood in the elevator and just thought to myself, okay, I'm never going to see her again. She's never going to see me again. It's okay, JC. Resume normal breathing. But I did have a server about 2 years ago who I asked her if she was pregnant. She wasn't. Thought my wife and daughter were going to get up from the table and just walk away. Now I'm on the receiving end of some of that because I am an old dad. I'm an old dad. My daughter is 13. And we'll be at the mall or something like that. And some overly friendly woman behind the counter in the candle store or something like that will look at Francesca and say, "You having a good time today with Grandpa?" And I have to be the one to say, yeah, I'm actually her dad. And, you know, maybe get a free candle out of the deal because the woman is so mortified. Oh, brother. I'm used to it now. I just laugh now. But not everybody just lets it roll off their back. Some of these people who say that, and it happens all the time. Some of these people say, they're just like, oh, God. Oh, God. I mention all of this because there is a critic. And I wish they would name who the critic was because I know a lot of these people whose names you see in the paper, or sometimes when you, I got to stop saying that too, because I don't think anybody reads the paper anymore. But you see it on TV, you see some big movies coming out, and I'm seeing Amsterdam tomorrow night. That's a movie with like 20 stars in it, really big stars. Now, I have to warn you that movies that are released at this time of year, not a good sign. All of the Oscar bait will start coming out in about the next month or so. This is a little early, though. I wouldn't call it a dumping ground. It's just not a particularly good sign that the movie... And there are lots of movies like that. If you get a movie that is released in, say, April, come to think of it now, March or April, because what you have is you have a big Valentine's Day romantic comedy push in late January and into February. And then you get into late February, March, and April... This is right before you have the big summer push. And in that two and a half month period, that's where the movie studios dump a lot of movies that they know are not going to do well. Well, the same thing happens now because you have the big summer push. Then everybody goes back to school. Nobody goes to the movies for a while. You get a bunch of kids' stuff. Usually they put in like some Disney or Pixar things at the end of the summer, the very beginning of fall. Then you have, like, again, a big dumping ground for about a month. And then you get into November and December, and that's when all of the really, really good stuff comes out. And when I say really good, I'm talking about really good with regard to, oh, you know, movies made by the best directors with the best scripts and big budgets and things like that. Not all of them are going to do well, but that's the time of year when traditionally all this stuff starts coming out. But this movie, Till, is coming out. T-I-L-L. Emmett Till was the little boy down in the South in, let's just say, another era, who was murdered by a bunch of fucking rednecks who did absolutely unspeakable things to this little boy and then killed him. That was the incident where the mother insisted that the funeral parlor leave the casket open and not use a bunch of makeup. She said, I want people to walk through this funeral home, including the national media. I want them to see what they did to my little boy. And so you saw this horribly disfigured, well, I don't want to go into it anymore. Anyhow, the movie's coming out. So some critic sees an early screening of this movie, and she says, female critic, and she says in reviewing the movie that she was distracted by the fat suit that Whoopi Goldberg's character was wearing in the movie. There's only one problem. Whoopi Goldberg was not wearing a fat suit in the movie. That was all 100% Whoopi. And I have to say, I'm not sure I've ever watched The View, but it's inescapable. You're watching Entertainment Tonight or you watch some sort of clip on the internet and you see this stuff. They just throw it at you. And I do remember thinking to myself the last time I saw Whoopi Goldberg that she did look like a trailer home. She was really, really big.
How big was she?
Let me tell you, she was so big, two men could make love to her at the same time and never meet. Thank you, Rodney. For those of you still trying to figure out the Pete Davidson thing, why he's getting all these incredible women, and when I say incredible, just in terms of looking at them, I happen to think that Kim Kardashian is sort of on the scary side. I saw a staggering figure yesterday. She has something like 325 million Instagram followers. That's almost everybody in America. And if you judge her just by money and good looks, you know, it's sort of indisputable, although the good looks are largely due to plastic surgery and a lot of it. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a prude or anything, but I understand that divorce is a part of life. I've been divorced, so I understand it. But these people like, you know, Karen Foss, Madonna, all of the Kardashians, who just sort of laugh at the institution of marriage. It's like it's some sort of big joke. If you want to be married, get married and then sort of follow the rules of marriage. If you don't want to be married and you don't feel like following those rules, then don't get married. The whole thing just comes off as sleazy. And then the mother, oh Jesus, don't even, no. Anyhow, and Kim Kardashian got clobbered yesterday with over $1 million fine, although she is worth, what'd they say, $1.2 billion right now. And I will say this about the Kardashians, and Kim Kardashian in particular. It's amazing how there's been an incredible seismic shift in this country, and it seems like around the world, too. Almost everything in life was about tits. Everything was about the size and the attractiveness, shall we say, of a woman's bosom. That's the way it was for really my entire life. Up until about 10 years ago when the Kardashians came along, and suddenly it wasn't about boobs anymore. It was about butts. And everybody just sort of went along with it. Every singer, every celebrity, everybody. First thing they do is they get a shot of their giant behind. And I probably shouldn't blame Kim Kardashian for that, because that, I think, actually started with Jennifer Lopez. Although with Jennifer Lopez, it was her fans and the media that started in with the obsession on her butt. I distinctly remember her trying to downplay it a couple of times. She's like, it's not that big. Well, now Kim Kardashian comes along and it's like, look at this thing. it does seem like it sort of has a life of its own. Anyhow, where was I? Edie Falco says, Pete Davidson, because people don't understand it. Edie Falco, who's in a new movie with him, says Pete Davidson is popular with the ladies because he is, these are her words, endearingly vulnerable, end quote, and lovable. She also said the second you meet him, you want to hug him. See, but then all the women want to hug him, and it's giving him those big brown circles under his eyes. They're squeezing the oxygen out of him. Will Smith's new movie, Emancipation, hits theaters on December 2nd, making it eligible for next year's Oscars, and that'll be interesting, won't it? A lot of people noticed that Coolio died at only 59 and wondered what the cause was. Turns out he had severe asthma that they say probably contributed to his death. Paris Hilton lost her chihuahua. I don't know how that's possible, because the goddamn thing was in every picture she's taken for the last 10 years, sitting in her purse. Somehow the dog got away, and she's going to psychics now to try to find out where the dog is. The psychic said the dog is still alive and safe where the dog is at. If you know, you make $10,000 because she'll pay that. Speaking of marriage and stuff like that, we were just a moment ago, Barack and Michelle Obama celebrated their 30th anniversary. But, oh yeah, they're terrible people, right? Late Night Tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Ralph Macchio, Jennifer Beals, Leah Thompson, and Modern English. It's a hell of a show. Miranda Lambert on with Kimmel. Stephen Colbert's got the lady of the day. Because does the book come out today? I think it does. Comes out today. Confidence Man, The Making of Donald Trump, and The Breaking of America. Maggie Haberman, the talk of the literary world today. I'm grabbing that book today. I hit the bookstore today. James Corden has Mila Kunis, Queen Latifah, and Sarah Sherman from Saturday Night Live. On with Seth Meyers. Trevor Noah has Congresswoman Cori Bush. For a charitable donation of just $40,000 each, meaning $80,000, two fans are getting a pottery lesson and smoke session with Seth Rogen. No, it used to be cocaine that was God's way of telling you to make too much fucking money. Now it's all these NFTs and celebrity once-in-a-lifetime things. That's telling you got too much money. As we reported yesterday, we had reason to believe that Tony La Russa was going to retire from Major League Baseball, and in fact, he did. He also apologized and said, you know, I didn't do my job. Oh, and can I address this Albert Pujols baseball thing? Because I think I got it solved. Now, I've really thought about this, but, you know, I need your help, because if there's a hole in this idea, tell me about it. So if I, in fact, have not got the best idea here, let me know and I will accept it. But I really think I got something here. Everybody is involved in the debate about what happens if you're the one who catches, for example, Albert Pujols' final home run of his career. Because somebody says, well, it's probably maybe $500,000. And some people say, no, I would just give it to him, opportunity to shake his hand, maybe get a bat, maybe some season ticket, something like that. You know, shake his hand, get a selfie, do the whole thing. But no, I'll give him the ball back. And other people were like, you're an idiot. You're holding something worth $500,000. You could pay off your mortgage. You could help your parents if they're still alive. You could help your brothers and sisters. You'd be set for life. Maybe you don't even have to work anymore. Why would you give the ball back to Albert Pujols? And I can understand both sides. I really can understand both sides. But here's a way to solve the problem, all right? Here's my idea. You find out the estimated value of the ball. Let's just say, for the sake of discussion, it's $500,000. Then you take that ball and you give it back to Albert Pujols, but in exchange, you get something of equal value. Albert made $240 million just in the 10 years he was in Los Angeles. He's not going to miss $500,000. So you say, here, Albert, I want you to have the ball. And Albert should then say, oh, good, I really do want the ball, in fact. And so here's $500,000 worth of shit. Or I'll write you a check for $500,000. Everybody goes away happy. Now, tell me what's wrong with that idea. I'm sure you will. I'm sure you didn't need prompting. And we're about to find out a lot about the human condition. Thousands of people took an online poll that asked if different things count as cheating or not. And here's what people said. Does kissing somebody on the cheek count as cheating. Only 7% said yes, but 73% think kissing on the lips is definitely cheating. Scrolling through Tinder when you're bored but not messaging anybody, is that cheating? 47% said yes. And if you actually do message somebody, that's 87% on the cheating side. How about hugging somebody very closely and slowly? Only 14% say yes, that's cheating. How about sending somebody else revealing photos? 94% say yep, that's cheating. How about giving somebody a massage? And I'm surprised by this number. Only 22% say it's cheating no matter what the context is. You're massaging somebody? And only 22% said that's cheating? There's something messed up with that one. All right, you're in a relationship, but you're on a break. So obviously we're not talking about marriage here. But you're on a break. 32% said, oh yeah, that's cheating. How about you get into bed with somebody of the opposite sex, but you don't do anything? Only 17% say that's cheating, but you better have a story. Holding hands, only 28%. Hanging out with an ex without telling your significant other, only 34%. Only 8% say watching porn is cheating. But sliding into someone else's DMs, 62%. How about having sex with somebody else? Yeah, that would be 99%. I'd be very curious to hear the rationale of the 1% that say, oh, no, you can boink somebody. That's not cheating. And finally, your partner has been in a coma for months and might not wake up. You sleep with someone. Is that cheating? 41% say yes. I used to understand the world. Apparently, I don't understand anything anymore. All right, birthdays today. Dakota Johnson, we've seen a lot of her. Literally, 33. Alicia Silverstone, awfully cute, but what a crackpot. 46. Liev Schreiber, he is Ray Donovan, 55. One of the very, very small handful of what I would call the best actors in the world right now. Turning 66 today. You saw him in Inglourious Basterds, Django Unchained. He was in a Unchained. Unchained. I didn't sleep much last night. I was watching that stupid football game. He was in a movie called Big Eyes that almost nobody saw, and I thought he was just great in it. But those scenes where he has Brad Pitt and what's his name tied up there, they're sitting at the desk with him and he's got the telephone on the desk. That scene is one of the most remarkable scenes I've seen in a movie in a long, long time. Christoph Waltz is 66 today and Susan Sarandon, 76. Leave It to Beaver premiered on this date in 57. Janis Joplin joined practically started the 27 Club on this date back in 1970. Dan Rather's walking along the streets of New York minding his own business, and somebody comes up and says, what's the frequency, Kenneth? He ends up in a scuffle where he was more roughed up than they told us. Let's put it that way, because Eric Mink was a very, very good friends with Dan Rather and told me some stuff I'm probably not supposed to repeat. But in any event, it was real. It was real. And even though people laughed at it, and a lot of people were like, good, son of a bitch deserves it. And even REM comes along and does the song, What's the Frequency? Kenneth, that guy who did this, eventually shot and killed an NBC technician in 1994. I do not turn my back on nobody. And today, believe it or not, Cinco de Mayo, you would think that is the de facto National Taco Day. But no, it's today. Tuesday, October 4th is National Taco Day.
You know what I love about tacos?
What's that? Everything.
Do tacos get any more kick butt than this?
Oh, they're about to, all right. New at Taco Town. We take a crunchy all-beef taco, smother it in nacho cheese, lettuce, tomato, and our special Southwestern sauce. Then we wrap it in a soft flour tortilla with a layer of refried beans in between.
Sweet.
Then we wrap that in a savory corn tortilla with a middle layer of Monterey Jack cheese.
Awesome.
And it gets even awesomer when we take a deep-fried gordita shell, smear on a layer of our special guacamolito sauce, and wrap that around the outside.
This is pretty big.
It gets bigger because we bake it in a corn husk filled with pico de gallo, then wrap that in an authentic Parisian crepe filled with egg, Gruyere, merguez sausage, and portobello mushrooms.
Can I eat it now?
Sure. But not before we take the whole thing and wrap that in a Chicago-style deep-dish meat lover's pizza.
Pizza? Now that's what I call a taco.
Well, it's not a Taco Town taco until we roll it up in a blueberry pancake, dip it in batter, and deep-fry it until it's golden brown. Then we serve it all in a commemorative tote bag filled with spicy vegetarian chili. It's 15 great tastes all rolled into one.
Taco Town!
The new pizza crepe taco pancake chili bag. Only at Taco Town.
Taco Town!
Yep, National Taco Day. Americans eat over 4.5 million tacos every year. That number drops to 2.5 million if you don't include Chris Christie. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, October 4th, 2022 is in the can. 35 days until the midterm clusterfuck. We are here every weekday morning right after 7 o'clock. We're absolutely free. Please spread the word. We are in the top 10% of all podcasts in these here United States, and we would like to stay there. Email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.